Blog Talk Radio.
We are here.
We are here. We are live, ladies and gentlemen.
It took me a while to unmute. Okay, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the True Blood Extravaganza on Movie Geeks United.
Right. How are you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing pretty good. We got a big show for you. Regardless of what you may think, we have a big show for you tonight because we are dealing with Alan Ball's second series, season finale for True Blood. So you know you're going to be in for a lot of surprises tonight.
We're just hours away from it. And first of all, the show's really popular for HBO. And it didn't start off that way. It was so odd because when I started watching it, the first episode of the first season, I was kind of eh. But then the second season, I don't know what it is, it hooked me. And apparently, or the second episode hooked me. Apparently it did the same thing with a lot of people because the numbers weren't very good for the premiere of the show. And the second episode, they skyrocketed.
Right, yeah.
And they've been skyrocketing ever since.
Yeah, I watched the first season, and, you know, I was, like, lukewarm for the first season. But the second season is definitely, like, you know, come on, it's dynamite. I haven't been bored yet. You know, I'm just very... The second season has gotten me to do this. I'm at the end of each episode, I'm like, oh, my God, what's going to happen next week? So I'm excited. I'm excited for tonight, and, you know, they'll leave me hanging for a couple months. But we have Dexter after this, so I'm a happy camper. So.
Well, that's good. I have Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's what I have after.
Oh, that. I have that too, but I live Curb Your Enthusiasm, so I...
Yes.
I live it every day. But you know what? Even saying that, this season of Curb Your Enthusiasm looks like it could be television history.
Mm-hmm. Well, it will be, just in terms of
the Seinfeld
reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, with True Blood, this has become their most popular show. Week after week, more and more viewers are tuning in. I think they're very smart in that. They started shooting the second season in the middle of the first.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to get the turnaround a little bit better. This time, I think they're not shooting the third season until December. They're not starting that. So I think we'll still be able to get new. The third season will probably start in the summer, early next summer. So we will have to wait, you know, 10 months. But the HBO shows, they spend a lot of time on them. They spend about 10 to 12 days shooting each episode, which is more than the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the production values are top-notch. I mean, this is HBO. That's the value of working with a company like HBO. And I saw somebody comment on your Facebook about True Blood, and they said the same thing that I've been saying about this show, and it was never meant as an insult. It's great trash.
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, and I don't even know, you know, I would have said that last season. You know, I would have been, and I have no problem with trash, obviously, if you just look through my DVD and VHS collection, obviously, I have no problem with trash. But this season, it's taken it's been taken up to a whole new level, and I think the third season is going to be even more so. I think Alan Ball, like with Six Feet Under, is using this as obviously a social commentary on where we are right now as a nation, but I see the third season is going to be a mirror of where we are as a nation. I mean, a direct mirror with in regards to the healthcare debate, because he's very good at that. I know, I do. You think I'm joking. Let me just say, all right, can you just let me say some words? Before I lose myself and my own admiration of myself. I've been going to the movies, as everyone knows. I go to the movies as a way to, you know, it's like oxygen for me. They've been showing this trailer for this movie, Daybreakers, a vampire movie.
Right.
You all thought I was going to say New Moon. Jason O'Brien thinks I'm camping out for New Moon, but that's not true. But Daybreakers looks like kind of a metaphor for, in the terms of the blood supply, as in the oil supply for us. And that's pretty obvious just with the trailer. What I like about Alan Ball is he's not that overt. But when you get when you get down, you watch a couple episodes of True Blood, or if you watch Six Feet Under, this guy gets the pulse of what America's all about. He really
I mean, there's some political and social satire that's in True Blood.
With the brother and that thing at the where he goes to that camp or whatever. It's all there. I mean,
the religion and the whole God hates fangs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's there, but it doesn't take you away from the.
Oh no,
the pure
and it doesn't take you away. It actually, I think, it enlightens it. I don't think when Alan Ball does something. I've noticed he doesn't alienate people. And a lot of writers and a lot of directors can take a pointer from him. He invites more people in, people who wouldn't normally go for that kind of thing. He's very bright, and he understands television better than a lot of other people.
Yeah, and he's at the right network. I mean, I don't know that he'd be able to find a regular television network where he would vibe necessarily, but his style kind of vibes with HBO.
You don't think Glenn Beck would go with this?
No, I don't think an Alan Ball show would survive on Fox.
Oh, I don't think so. Not at all.
But HBO is where it belongs.
Oh, absolutely.
So we tried to get people from the True Blood show to speak tonight before the finale. And let me tell you what happened.
No, tell us, because I think I know what happened, but tell us.
We got three interested. So, well, Tara, I'll just refer to their character names. The actress that plays Tara, her person said, who else is involved? I said, okay, I'll let you know who else is involved, and then we'll see where we can go from there. The actor that plays Jason Stackhouse, this sounds fun. Let me check with him. He's on a plane all day yesterday, and so I guess he's unable to do it tonight either. The Sam Merlot character, we're really close to getting that. She kept going back and forth, and he's on a plane as well.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, they're being bombarded with requests because it's the finale.
Right.
And so Michelle Forbes, the actress that plays Marianne, I got a call from her agent that said, or manager that said, you know, she's bombarded with requests, but this was good. She said, but she's a fan of your show, and she wants to do your show.
Because I love Battlestar Galactica, that's why.
That's right.
She's actually Michelle Forbes. I know Michelle Forbes all the way back to the David Duchovny film California, what I know her from, actually, back in '93. And that's a shame. God, I wish she was on the show.
Unable to put that together either.
Yeah.
You know, and she was in Treatment, the other HBO show. She was
right,
in 24.
Right.
And Battlestar Galactica, as you said. This season has been crazy. Like, each episode has been out-crazing the previous.
That's true. That's the best way to describe it.
It really is no holds barred with the show. I think they're self-contained, though, right? I think we're going to get a conclusion at tonight's finale.
I think so. I agree with that.
Because they seem to be self-contained, like last season was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. I'm excited. And Alan Ball is very special, and I'm very happy that this is a hit for him. And there's a drink now. Dre, have you tried the drink?
I haven't tried the drink. I've seen it advertised all over the place, but I haven't. Have you tried the drink?
No, I haven't. But
no, I haven't either. No, I haven't.
When your show has its own drink, that's pretty. You've arrived.
You're big time. You're big time.
We need a movie geeks drink.
We do need a movie geeks drink. It'd be like a combination of like your like the worst tumor inducing diet soda with the worst tumor inducing sugar.
Right,
soda.
Right. Our drink would taste like piss and vinegar. That's
oh
the movie geeks United.
That, that would be with Jason O'Brien's picture on the cover of it.
Anyway. So, True Blood tonight. You know what else is on tonight? The MTV Music Awards. This
okay,
is not movie.
No.
Well, yeah, this is kind of movie related.
Yeah, it is.
It opens with Janet doing like a musical tribute to her brother. But during the show, they're premiering the Michael Jackson documentary, This Is It trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That opens for a limited 2 weeks, the end of October.
Right.
Yeah. Is that all the conversation then?
No. It's my thing with Michael Jackson is, you know, I think that's going to be a much bigger deal when that comes out. I think that's going to be every showing wherever you live that is playing is going to be sold out. That's a very big deal. Michael Jackson, you know, while a lot of people, you know, I'm not his biggest fan, but I certainly understand where he stands in cultural importance. Let me tell you something. I don't want my movie to open the same day as that movie.
Yeah.
I really don't. I really don't.
Yeah,
like
I think
that. I would lose.
I think something like Saw will probably be in its second weekend when This Is It opens. I don't know what else is out.
Do we really need another Saw movie? It's bad enough I'm supposed to review that for someone, but do we really need? Oh God, I wish it'd go away.
Yeah, it's like Unforgiven. Deserves got nothing to do with it. Needs got nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
we're gonna get one, whether we want it or not.
Right.
I saw the poster to This Is It, and the poster's really neat looking. I liked it a lot. But and Jason seems to think, speaking of Jason O'Brien, we did an Oscar prediction thing. I know it's like 6 months too early, but we still did it. And he had a prediction that it would be nominated for Best Documentary.
I would be surprised if it wasn't.
Oh, I don't think it will be at all.
You don't? Really? You don't? Okay. I would be surprised.
I don't think it's the kind of documentary that is ever nominated in that category.
True, but, okay.
I'll stand by it. Here's some other Oscar hopefuls that I don't see getting in. There's a movie called Brothers. Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's a
Tobey Maguire. Yeah. Natalie Portman. There's a lot of Oscar talk about that.
Who is the director of that movie, by the way?
I don't know. We'll look it up.
Well, we'll go with that. I don't know. That's a good.
Well, it looks like a Leslie Holstrom.
All right. I've seen the original movie that this is based on. I was thinking about this earlier. Like, remakes are just like a common thing that we deal with now, and they've always been common. But this is only like 3 or 4 years from the original movie, so it's a very odd thing. But I don't know. But I'll see it when it comes out.
Okay.
Like I know it's like someone said, oh Jerry, you will see it anyways. Anything that comes out in the local multiplex, you'll see. Yeah, exactly. So we'll go with that.
Well, there's two brothers that. Oh, not the John Singleton. There's two different movies called Brother that open up in 2009.
What's
and I just
one?
Chose the wrong one. Oh, I don't know. I think it's a short or something. I can't find it. Hang on. I can't find it to see who.
Okay,
who
but let's
it.
Go.
But
let's move on. Let's move on. Let's keep
to going. To me, it looks like a soap opera with a rack theme thrown in just for prestige.
Well, the original one. And I'm not going to insult the nationality because I don't remember the exact nationality, but it is about I believe I want to see the UN soldiers in Iraq, if I'm not mistaken. So
okay.
It seems like this is a direct remake, and I don't know if it was, you know, would it hurt someone to just get a nicer print of the original film and release it on 1,000 screens instead of just wasting money and remaking it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's called Brothers, not Brother. Did I say Brother?
I know. I'm looking at Jason O'Brien's transmissions in the chat room, and I'm...
We've mentioned Jason O'Brien far too much so far on the show.
Jason,
it's like
I
the
love
fourth
you,
time.
This
it's directed by Jim. It's directed by Jim Sheridan,
whose last film starred 50 Cent. So, get rich or die trying.
Is that all you got to say? It's from the motion picture, based upon the motion picture Brodre.
That's like something like Leslie would say.
Or as they say in Mexico, Brodre. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Anyway, it looks like a soap opera to me, but who knows. Other Oscar hopefuls, I think that the big one is up in the air. More and more, every week when I hear reviews of this movie, this seems to be the big contender.
Oh, I think this is the front runner. Wouldn't you think after the last week, this is the front runner right now?
Absolutely. If for nothing else, for George Clooney.
He's having a time of his life right now. I mean, he's really doing well. No, I think Up in the Air is the big front runner right now.
Yeah.
So.
And I hear that the new Coen Brothers movie is pretty brilliant.
It's, from what I know, and I've seen the trailer enough times, but this is going to be the first film where they sort of, this is going to be the first film where they take a look at maybe their roots and everything, so it's a fascinating. The trailer is just fascinating. I don't care who you are, it's just a great trailer, and I can't wait to see it. This could be like their first like autobiographical film.
Yeah, I think they've said as much, but also I think it's kind of existential and about religion in some way. They say that it's very finely tuned. It has the tone is very unique to the Coen Brothers. That it's only something that they could do in this way, and it's one of their exceptional efforts, so I've been hearing. And
yeah, no, it is. I have to say that given who they are and the trailer and what the film is about, and also that it's the first film they've done where it's not a well-known cast.
Right.
And I think that's to the film's advantage, given the
Their biggest star is Adam Arkin.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
So... I think that's to the film's advantage, and it's a brilliant trailer.
Mm.
Just a brilliant trailer. But
you hear what their next project is?
True Grit.
Yeah. Hopefully starring the dude himself. It'll be a reuniting of the dude with the Coens.
I think that's, you know, That to me just says, when is it coming, and when can I start buying my ticket? I can't wait.
Jeff Bridges doing the John Wayne role, apparently closer to the book than the original film was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe they'll bring back Ronnie Howard.
If Opie Cunningham comes back, I'll be there. I'll be there right now. Opie Cunningham rules. He rocks my world. And I'm even saying that in spite of my feelings about Angels and Demons. Okay, we're never getting him on the show.
But that's interesting. He's had an interesting life. I mean, he worked
with
John Wayne.
This is a guy who, all right, you know, I always say this thing about the actors who pay attention on the set. No one paid more attention than Ron Howard. He paid attention to everyone,
mm-hmm.
every director, every set he was on. You know, I'm not crazy about every film he makes, but the guy knows how to make a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what you think about him. This guy understands how to make a movie.
Meanwhile, Michael Caine has a performance in a new film that people are going gaga over. So he could be another one to sneak in there, because he's always a favorite for that category
mm-hmm.
of best actor. And I've read good reviews now of The Road. The first reviews I read weren't very flattering.
Most of the reviews. Where have you read these good reviews? I'm curious.
I don't remember. I read two good ones on Friday.
I don't remember. You know,
basically praise the design of the film, the look of the film, and the two lead performances.
Okay. Because you know when the movie's been pushed back, it's not opening up against Where the Wild Things anymore. It's coming out that Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Right now. You know, they did this with The Mist, the Weinstein Brothers. They really don't have a understanding of the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, where did their intuition go?
I don't know, but, you know, it started with Grindhouse, supposedly, Easter weekend. And then The Mist Thanksgiving weekend. So, hey, The Road, Thanksgiving weekend 2009. I was talking to my mom about this earlier because it was shut out of Venice. I don't think The Road is going to get a wide theatrical release. I think because it's 2929 Productions, which I think is affiliated with Magnolia, I think it's going to get the video on demand treatment.
I don't know that it will. I think they would have already planned that.
I would like to think that this, they're already talking because of the, they don't even think it's going to come out that Wednesday now. They think it's going to be pushed back even further. And let me say this about The Road. It was supposed to come out the same day as Quantum of Solace last year.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't
this
bode
film
well.
Has already been in purgatory.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't bode well. Sometimes it works, Titanic.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the times it just, it doesn't signal, it's kind of an omen.
Yeah, I'm hoping it comes, because I would like to see it. I think the director is perfect for the material. I've read the book. It's a great cast. I love the trailer. But, obviously, I would love, do you remember where these positive reviews came from?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, all right. This is like out of a Peter Hyams.
I'm so sorry. It's probably maybe Hollywood Reporter.
That's a big deal. If it's Hollywood Reporter, that's a big deal.
Maybe a paper, maybe like The Guardian or something in the UK.
Okay, The Guardian, dude, these are not things to make light of.
No, not from somebody's blog. I'm not quoting from somebody's blog.
No, I realize you're not quoting from my blog or something like that, which would really just, you would be laughed out of the internet. But
And did you like Happiness?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Did I like Happiness? You want to know why I like Happiness?
Why do you like
Probably
that?
Don't.
Why did you
this
like
this would get. I like the last line of Happiness, and I'm not going to repeat the last line, but the last line of Happiness is pretty close to brilliant, and I'm just going to say that right now. But I do like Happiness because I think the first two Todd Solondz films are excellent.
Yeah, I don't see that he makes movies necessarily that I can say that I like. But because I feel rather sick.
Wait, I thought you and Chris were his defenders.
Oh. No. Chris says that he loves Happiness.
Hey, you mean I'm talking to the wrong?
You're talking to the wrong movie geek.
The sequel
to Happiness, of sorts,
mm-hmm.
Same characters played by different actors. Life After Wartime is playing the festival circuit now too. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story coming out of there.
Yeah, that is a big story coming out of there. But the really big story is the Israeli film Lebanon.
Do share.
No, this is the film that has. It is obviously, I would take it, a very leftist Israeli film, very anti-war film about the invasion of Lebanon. But this is the film that's doing very well. This is a film that's taken the thunder from, at least in the stories I read from Michael Moore's film, and The Road. This is where I'm getting my information from The Road, that The Road was overlooked and that capitalism and love stories are overlooked, is that Lebanon has done so well.
Yeah.
And I did not know about this film until last week. I had no idea.
Well, that looks like a front runner for Best Foreign, maybe?
It could be. I don't know how these guys work. I guess now our friend from Oscar will be referred to as Voldemort, that he is named who should not be named. We'll know more about this than we do because he handles the Oscars and the foreign films and all that. I don't know if he does the foreign films. I have no idea.
Yeah, he claims to be an expert on all categories.
Really?
Yeah.
He
so
when I sent him the thing about the Triple X Awards, he had no idea. Okay, well.
Yeah, those are the AVNs. Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's our category, though.
That's
our.
No, but I think it is very curious. This movie Lebanon, which, like I said, I didn't know about till this week, is something worth looking at because it is a very it's a timely film, and it's I would love to see it just because I'm interested in the subject matter. But that this took the win from the Michael Moore and the adaptation of The Road, I'm very curious.
Yeah. I mean, it's not likely to at the box office, but, yeah.
Oh, I don't. None of these films that we're talking about, sadly. I don't even know if the Michael Moore film has that kind of muscle.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced that people will go out and see something like that. But
At this time,
yeah.
Well, you know, let's talk about that for a couple minutes, because I like Sicko a lot. I thought Sicko was a very good film, but it didn't have the pull that Fahrenheit 9/11 did.
Do you think
this one will?
Well, I mean, for lack of a better word, Sicko wasn't as sexy a topic as Fahrenheit 9/11.
But it's the topic de jure for the last couple of months, obviously.
Now it is. Man.
Now it is,
he's like,
yeah.
Man, why couldn't I have switched capitalism with Sicko?
Yeah,
I would
sure
have been,
he's thinking
I would have
the same
been,
thing.
I would have been really prescient if I released capitalism back then. No,
yeah.
I would have seemed prescient if I would have talked about healthcare now.
Yeah.
And I would have seemed like Nostradamus if I had talked about capitalism back then.
Man, you'd be rich.
It's weird. You would have taken advantage of that.
Put it out there, you'd be rich.
Talk about capitalism. Yeah. Meanwhile, here's an interesting story. The real Norma Rae. There is a real Norma Rae.
No, there is. Yeah, what about her? What?
She died after being turned down for cancer treatments by her insurer.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I just thought that was also prescient right now. Also, let's see, movies that came out this weekend. Did you see stuff like The Informant? And?
No, I didn't. The Informant is next weekend, I thought.
Oh, okay.
But I did see the September issue. Let's start with the good films, then we'll go to the bad films.
Okay.
I did see the September issue, which I thought was very well done. It could be said that I learned my life lessons from Anna Wintour and Grace Coddington from the September issue, from Jimmy Page from It Might Get Loud, and Paul Buscetti from the show I kind of like took over on Thursday night, Jonathan Moody is the Independent Corner. But
right.
The September issue is for me at least, the front runner for best documentary. It's fascinating.
Good.
It really is. And it's not just Anna Wintour. It's the other person's name. I mentioned Grace Coddington, I believe is her name. She's really the star of the show. She's the one.
And that's her assistant.
Yeah. She knows everything.
And she's the only one that knows how to deal with Wintour's.
I think that's the impression you get. Now, here's the thing. You know, The Devil Wears Prada, the first half of the film, you're really scared of the Meryl Streep character, but the second half of the film, I always felt kind of, some sort of empathy because you need someone like that to get to bring in that production to make sure that magazine comes in the way it is.
Right.
You know. And the Anne Hathaway character, while I like Anne Hathaway and everything, she didn't want to be there. She has this big chip on her shoulder. She didn't want to be there. You know, you're like, okay, that's cool. That's fine. Then quit. You know, that's not your thing.
Right.
You know?
And there's that scene with Meryl Streep. You know, the big thing that's been talked about, discussed with this scene, is that she's not wearing any makeup. But
right.
There's the first scene where she shows vulnerability in the hotel room.
Yeah.
Her husband leaves her or something happens.
Yeah. But the documentary is just fascinating. I don't care whether you're into music or movies or books or anything. This documentary is just sort of essential just to see how things get done, and especially things get done on deadline.
This is the big preparation for the September issue, which is the big issue of Vogue, right?
It is
800 page.
It is enormous. I mean, all you have to do is to compare. Like the one that came out this year is thinner than the one that's in the
by 200 pages.
Noticeably thinner than the one that the movie's based on. Just to get an idea of how big this is, and and it's just very fascinating. Even if you don't care about fashion, it's just really interesting to see how things, to see people on Deadline and how things get done. It's a great film. It's really well done.
And you don't care about fashion, right?
Actually, Jamie, I know a lot about fashion, even though I dress like a total slob. My mom went to enough Adolfo and Bill Blass shows in New York and in D.C., and she was friends with a lot of designers that I actually know more than I should know.
Wow, I would have never expected that of you, dude.
No, every episode I want to give, you know, so we get new listeners, chock full of information.
Yeah, do you wear, like, ascots and that kind of thing, too?
Dude, they're retards that dress better than me.
What?
I know, dude. I wear t-shirt, jeans, t-shirt, and shorts. I'm about as stylish as, you know, hobbits dress better than me.
Right.
I said it, okay? I said it. There's my horrible, dirty secret.
I find one outfit that I'm comfortable in, and I stick with it.
More power to you. More power.
I buy three copies of it and just stick with it.
No, but we actually do have a really good narrative movie that has come out in the, I guess we're going to have to refer to this era for me, not for you, Jamie, or certainly not for Chris or Aaron, in the post-Inglourious Basterds era, because as we know that this movie, like There Will Be Blood, has blinded me to everything else. But there is one really good movie that's out there right now, and it's called Nine.
Oh, the animated.
Yeah, and it is very good.
Shane Ackler. Yeah.
It is very good, and it is worth everyone's time to go check out. And what I like about it is it's not too long. I think it's only 80 minutes. It's beautifully animated. The effects are wonderful.
Hang on. We're talking about Nine, but we have a call that disappeared for a second, then it came back in. I want to make sure we get them in.
Oh, yeah, get them in, please, because if we can get someone else.
I have a 310 area code.
Yeah, I'm Jacqueline Frost. I thought I was supposed to be calling in to talk about cinematography for directors.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah.
I received no confirmation on it.
Oh, okay. And I thought we had set that appointment time, but that's okay.
Would you mind if I emailed you later this evening?
Sure thing, that's fine.
Because I want to do justice to your book. It's a gorgeous book, and
thanks.
I'll email you a little bit later this evening, and we'll set it up again. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. All right,
then
you,
I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're Nine.
Nine is, you know, I got to be honest with you. The first, you know, because we've been inundated, or at least I have, because I go to this thing a couple times a week. Nine didn't, you know, and the trailers didn't blow me away. I won't lie to you. It looked very interesting, but it wasn't something I was rushing out to see. But I needed to get out of the house Wednesday night because we weren't doing a show Wednesday. And, I went and checked this out, and it's very well done. Now, I don't want to alarm anybody, but the first film, the way it's shot and everything, reminded me of a film that came out back in 2004 called Sky Captain: The World of Tomorrow. I like that film.
You did? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I do. I know. Now I can just see it now. The hate mail comes in. I can just see it from Roland right now. God damn it, he just bloats about Inglourious Basterds, like, Sky Captain, shoot him, Jamie, shoot him. But, no, seriously, that's what it reminded me, not in the way it was shot, but in the creations, and the I guess you could say the robotic creations reminded me of the Sky Captain, and also remind you of the Spielberg tripods in War of the Worlds, if you want to go that far. But it's a fascinating movie, and I actually think it's something, it's only 80 minutes long, and there's a lesson that a lot of filmmakers who make very long films can take from it. You can get a lot more of your film across in a short amount of time, like mm-hmm. this film does, and make a very vivid point. And it's
this
not
is a Tim Burton production, right?
Yeah. Tim Burton and the other guy, the Russian guy from Wanted, and the Nightwatch and Daywatch movies as a producer on it as well. And it's fascinating. It's a really well done film.
Well, I strongly recommend it. And
I did not see Tyler Perry's films. I did not see it. He didn't ask me to come see it, so I didn't see it.
As opposed to Nine, which you were asked to go see.
They sent me. I got the message in my sleep. You know, it's like, hey, let me ask you this. Have you seen a trailer for a movie called The Fourth Kind?
The Fourth Kind, no.
Yeah, it is an alien abduction movie with Mila Jovovich.
Right.
And I got to tell you, dude, this trailer is freaking me out.
I've heard. I need to check that out. I've heard positive things about this.
Yeah, it's very creepy. I don't get creeped out during trailers so much, but, yeah, this one creeped me out.
Well, I'll have to look that up. The box office, of course, Tyler Perry's movie opened up number one, and it's even cursed with a bad title like I Can Do Bad by Myself.
I would love to have Tyler Perry on this show.
Yeah, I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with.
It seems like the last 5 years, regardless of what you may think about his films or anything, this guy knows how to make a movie and distribute his movies, and he can make a splash on opening weekend. I don't care who you are. That's impressive.
Yeah, it really is. And Nine came in second place with 10.4, which I'm sure was disappointing to them. And then Inglourious Basterds hanging on strong at third place. It's so far taken in $104 million
mm-hmm.
at the U.S. box office. Their biggest hit. Tarantino and Weinstein. Really,
it's funny because you know they had after Khan they had no faith in this film. They're banking everything on Halloween 2, and their playbook is just really bad. I don't mean to say that because in the 90s they were quite a force to be reckoned with, but lately
did you see Jennifer's Body?
No, because Jennifer's Body has not opened and. You know, the Megan Fox fan club hates my guts, I guess. I don't know.
That didn't open this weekend either?
No, that's next weekend. It's next week. Next
Am
weekend.
I living a week in the future or something?
I don't know, dude. But let me tell you something about next weekend. Next weekend's box office should shake up everything because you have Jennifer's Body, The Informant, and the one with Aaron Eckhart and Jennifer Aniston, Love Happens. So I think that's going to be the one that shakes up everything.
Well, it's another Jennifer Aniston movie. It should be called Shit Happens, should it?
Maybe. I don't know. She's trying, dude. She's really trying.
I know.
Get in her corner, because if we could get her on, that would be awesome.
I'll cut her some slack.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, here's another great movie in development, and it's particularly great for me.
Oh, God, I got to know what this is.
I'm going to love this. Excuse me. Michael Stipe and Tom Hanks are getting together to produce a film centered around Barry Manilow.
Oh, God, I thought about you all the middle of this week, last week when I saw this. I was like, oh, my God.
I know you did.
That's all I could think of.
It's said to be not a straight-out musical, even though it's going to incorporate Barry music throughout, and it's going to crescendo in Barry in concert or something. But they say it's not going to be a musical like Mamma Mia. It's going to be a multi-character, multi-thread story like Love Actually, or
mm-hmm.
cute kind of love stories, all culminating in people that go to Vegas to see Barry and their connection to his music.
I see that. I can see that more that format. I like Love Actually quite a lot, so I can see that working.
So it looks like he made it.
He made it. He's going to be on our show. So
they looked at Barry and they said, "We're ready to take a chance again." I could go all night.
You could. Okay,
that's not one of his songs, but. So I think that I have high hopes for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the most exciting part of it is, you just mentioned it, we finally have an excuse to invite Barry Manilow on our show.
Well, there you go, and that's going to be the show that's going to make everyone jealous.
Now, if I get Pacino and Barry on around the same time, I think that spells the end of Movie Geeks United. What's left? There's nothing else left.
I don't know. I really don't see how we could really function after that.
Well, I mean,
I have a lot of people I would like to ask on, you know. But for you, though, that I mean, you would probably just, like, disintegrate.
Yeah, just go to sleep for a long time.
Yeah.
So Toronto, I don't know if Toronto Film Festival is wrapping up yet or not.
No, it's not. Venice is wrapped up, but not Toronto. I don't know. I don't know what even to say about Toronto.
Did they give out awards for Venice? Or?
They did, and it like I said, the Lebanon film was the one that. Here,
okay.
All right, if you let me use my computer to find out stories from that. I do think it's Toronto is the big thing right now because they gave their
Golden Lion to Lebanon.
Yeah, Lebanon is the big. That's the big thing to come out. I'm going.
What movie won the Platinum Monkey?
Platinum Monkey. You're fucking with me, aren't you?
The Golden Lion, the Platinum Monkey. Hang on. Okay, I'm bringing it up.
I'm trying to find it right now, but.
The Silver Lion, the jury was headed by Ang Lee. The Golden Lion went to Lebanon. The Silver Lion for Best Director went to the director of a movie called Women Without Men.
Oh, yeah, the Iranian film, right?
Yes. Special jury prize went to a movie called Soul Kitchen. Best
Colin Firth did very well.
Yes, Best Actor, Colin Firth. For his performance in A Single Man.
Mm-hmm.
Best Actress, Sania Rapoport for The Double Hour, and the Marcello Mastroianni Award for Best Young Actor or Actress, who we interviewed, the winner of this last year,
mm-hmm.
we interviewed them last week, Jennifer Lawrence, is Jasmine Trinca for
mm-hmm.
El Grande Sogno. Todd Solondz won Best Screenplay.
Wow, that I just think it's good that he's still in the game because, like, you know, his films could be, you say, that's very 90s filmmaking, especially, like, watching storytelling or palindromes. So it's really good. I think it's awesome that he's still in the game.
Yeah. Meanwhile, did you hear the honorary Oscars this year, who they're giving them to?
Roger Corman, it's long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Roger Corman,
it more than anyone else, as far as I'm concerned.
Roger Corman, Lauren Bacall, and two other people with deep voices. John Calley, and who's the fourth, man?
Oh, dude, I just kept on track of Roger Corman. I didn't. Jesus Christ, you keep throwing these curveballs at me, Deval.
Jason's in the chat room. He could look that up.
Yeah, Jason's.
Oh, who's the next one? It's in many ways the most important of all of them.
Well, I think Roger Corman is actually the most important. But that's just me. I mean, you know. But, you know, O'Brien should know this stuff like the back of his hand.
Yeah. Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Is anyone helping in the chat room?
I'm just looking on my own right now.
Yeah, this is a terribly...
this is live, you know, live radio, anything can go wrong. Lauren Bacall, Roger Corman. Oh, come on, please, just tell me. Gordon Willis!
Right!
Gordon
right.
Willis, Jesus Christ, I mean, why hasn't he been on our show yet? But, you know...
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, as
so,
Michelle has pointed out in the chat room, and she is a godsend, Michelle, thank you for listening to the show, McCall's speech will be a classic, regardless where it's broadcasted. That will be the most awesome speech in the world.
The which speech?
Lauren McCall's speech.
Yes.
You come on, I mean, you can't really deny the... I mean, that's going to be a great speech.
Yeah, and with that booming voice, I'm sure you'll be able to hear it at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, they're going to call on our show.
No. So, yes, so the four of them will receive honorary Oscars, not on the telecast, although I'm sure they'll try to find a way to incorporate some highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, the high point of the Oscars every year for us is...
Now, I think it was Michelle, if I'm not mistaken, or someone else who posted on Facebook, but I want to say Michelle, and I'm going to give her the credit. Peter Travers has seen 40 minutes of Avatar, and he says this is the film to beat for the best picture Oscar.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about this? Because I know you and O'Brien have this, you know, this.
I think Peter Travers. Two things. Peter Travers feels the same way I do.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Peter Travers is brilliant. So.
Wow, that really doesn't really leave a lot of discussion.
You could easily deduct from that I'm brilliant, right?
Oh yeah. Well, a lot of people think Peter Travers is the new Ben Lyons lately.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you.
No, and that was not meant as a dig as you. You could
butter me up.
No, you had used your special ESP power and you would know, hey, Jerry, that is going to make fun of Peter Travers. But no, you didn't. But there is Peter Travers. I love Rolling Stone. It's the longest thing magazine I've gotten in the mail, I think 25, 30 years now. But
right. Their
reviews, like their music reviews in the 90s, everything got like what is it, 4 or 5 stars? Every new release, 4 or 5 stars. Peter Travers tends to give everything like that 4-star, that the highest praised review. But he seems to be on to something with Avatar. The more footage that people have seen with this film, the more they like it.
Yes.
So he may be on to something here, because people who have seen more footage, like Shelley has seen a lot more footage than any of us have, and she says mm-hmm. It's great. So I want to take her on her word on that. And I would hate to think that, you know, James can't, you know, no one wants to see someone who's been out of the narrative motion picture making come back and the film will be a disaster. No one wants that. It doesn't bode well for anyone. I don't care who you are. We want James Cameron to come back with a strong story, a strong film, period.
Right.
It doesn't, no one wants this to be his Phantom Menace.
Well, people that love movies don't. But there are a lot of people, if you go on, you know, the stupid message boards, I mean, they're just begging for failure, you know.
Well, that's, all right, let's go with that. You love movies and everything, and even for the movies that you might not want to see, you don't want them to be failures, because guess what, you still want to be able to go out to the movies to see your movie. You don't want it to be, so you kind of want everything to do well.
I remember I worked with a real smart aleck years ago, and we got out of an advanced screening of True Lies, and he walked up to me and said, wasn't as good as Terminator 2. I'm like, you know, it wasn't built to be a Terminator 2. You know, there's
movies. Love that movie.
Movies are supposed to serve different purposes. You know,
yeah,
they're not, you know, if somebody makes, I don't know, a little intimate, like a Glengarry Glen Ross after they make Gone with the Wind, it's not fair to say, it's no Gone with the Wind.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
not
it's
built
not supposed to be.
To be.
It's not, I mean, that's my thing. I think Avatar, I think it's unfortunate in the trailer, maybe he didn't show us, you know, more, but I think
right.
as time, as we get, I think as we get closer, like I think in November there'll probably be obviously a new trailer. You know, people are going to go see it because it's Cameron, and people are very curious what would make him come back
mm-hmm.
to making a film. And regardless of where you stand or what you think, look, I don't think the trailer is that great, but I'm going to go see it, and I don't think he's wasted millions of dollars to make a piece of junk. I think he's made something worthwhile, and maybe he's, in that sense, a classic P.T. Barnum. He's going to say, hey, I don't want to show you all the great stuff. I want you to come to the theater to see it.
Yeah, I wasn't taken by the trailer at all. And
well,
I
the,
feel
trailer's all, the trailer, as far as trailers go, is not great.
And you see the trailer, I saw it at the theater, and I heard everyone kind of collectively going, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the trailer in 3D, and even, I mean, here's the thing. There are some sequences in 3D that look great, but once you get to the actual aliens, you're like, okay, you obviously there's something here that really grabbed you. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to go with you, jump off the cliff with you, if you will, that you saw something here that's worthwhile. Because I can't believe that you've been going this long from the industry. Now, he's made documentaries, obviously.
Right.
There's 3D documentaries and the IMAX documentaries, but I do think that he may have the last laugh here. I don't rule that out.
Yeah, he's gonna.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I wanted to shine the spotlight on another show. We've had her on our show before, Betty Jo Tucker. She has
a
show.
Oh, she's great.
On,
she's wonderful.
Yeah, she has a show on Blog Talk Radio called Movie Addict Headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a big week next week. On Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, she's going to have Tony Curtis on the show with her.
Holy shit, Tony Curtis?
Yeah, and on Thursday, September 17th, she's going 2 days later, she's going to have Debbie Reynolds on the show with her.
Holy shit, Princess Leia's mom?
At 4 p.m.
Awesome.
Eastern. Yeah. It's a good thing that you're not in either of those interviews, or you'd just be bombarding them with holy shits, I'm pretty sure.
No, I would like Tony Curtis to be like, look, Betty Jo, you're really professional and everything, but whoever this retard is that you have with you, you really have to hang out.
Well, I have a Debbie Reynolds, actually, one of my favorite movies, Mother, and
great,
I watched
man.
That I watched that again last week with my mother,
mm-hmm.
and she'd forgotten how funny it was. I just cannot stop laughing every time the food scenes come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. What would Debbie Reynolds say that her daughter was in Sorority Row? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. That's a complicated relationship right there. But
it is.
But which brought about another great movie, Postcards from the Edge, their relationship.
That's a good film. That's a very underrated
film.
But
Debbie Reynolds is great. You know who was originally supposed to play that part in Albert Brooks' Mother?
Who? Who was?
Nancy Reagan.
Oh, dude, that would have been surreal.
Yeah, but she was taking care of Ronnie. She didn't.
No,
think
yeah,
that she could...
you know, that's when the Alzheimer's set in, so yeah.
Yeah. That would have been interesting. So she and Albert Brooks were actually in talks for her to do that movie.
Yeah.
It's a funny movie, and it's very truthful, very perceptive. And I'm a big fan of Albert Brooks, but not a big fan of his films, of most of his films. But that one's a real keeper for me.
Well, let me, all right, since we're talking about his films, The Muse, what did you think of The Muse?
It's a lot more miss than hit.
Yeah, okay. Looking for comedy in the Muslim world.
All miss.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go with you. I'm in total agreement with you there.
Yeah, and that's a shame. I think he could have mined something good out of that.
Oh, he could have totally, but it just didn't work.
But then Defending Your Life, more hit than miss.
Yeah.
Looking for America or.
Lost in America.
Lost in America.
Lost
yeah.
in America. I think maybe more so than Mother is his masterpiece.
Yeah, that's the common consensus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was originally offered to play the Woody Allen role in Deconstructing Harry.
That would have been very interesting because in that film, I could see that.
It's an interesting thing because we always when at Woody Allen's last movie, we said, "Oh, Larry David and Woody Allen, perfect pairing." Perfect pairing would really be Albert Brooks and Woody Allen.
Yeah, Larry
Allen, but...
David. That film doesn't work, though. As hard as that is to admit, because we're big Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld fans,
right.
The film just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably to blame with the writing.
Yeah.
But his temperament, it seems perfect for Woody Allen.
Yeah.
But the problem with Albert Brooks is he says, you know, anytime that Woody offers something to me, I'm always playing him, and I don't want to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But in a way, I mean, they're quite similar. But
right.
I think Albert Brooks' main influences are people like Jack Benny and that kind of thing. He's very
Have you ever
school.
Seen Jack Benny on The Tonight Show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's great, so I can definitely see that. Yeah, I see that influence, totally.
I saw, like, a Dick Cavett with Jack Benny and Janis Joplin together or something.
Yeah.
He used to have
great.
The oddest pairings.
Yeah.
I miss those kinds of shows.
I do.
We don't really have talking head shows anymore.
Letterman tries, but it's hard. It's hard in this day and age to do that.
I think the only people, the only one that has that is possibly Larry King, but definitely Charlie Rose. Those are the only kind
Charlie
of.
Charlie Rose is great.
Yeah, yeah. That's it, really. Everything else is debate and 5 seconds of sound bites and that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, sound bite craziness.
Yeah, and MGU. That's like all.
Well,
you
we're the best. We do it better than anyone else.
Yeah. Our website, MovieGeeksUnited.net, is updated frequently, so check it out. And then we have an M tribute show coming up, but we're postponing it because this is going to take some more work than we thought to.
But
we
I watched
do
it
justice.
Again last night.
Yeah.
I just thought I everyone, like, you know, people are going to sleep better because of that tonight.
I watched it, too.
No, dude, I gotta say this. I have a lot to say about that because I love, you know, another film I love by Fritz Lang at the time is Metropolis. So we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and it's an interesting film in terms of how it pushes the boundaries in subject matter, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and visually it's stunning, and its use of sound for it to be his first sound picture, it's pretty.
Yeah.
Daring.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, really, it came 18 years before Citizen Kane? No, 10 years before Citizen
Kane. I think 10 years before.
Yeah, and I think it's every bit as astounding technically and story-wise as Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of comparisons between the two films that you can make as to what's better, definitely.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. And then some other upcoming great shows. Are you ready to close out, Jerry?
Yes, I'm ready to close out.
Okay. Our song of the week last week was from Xanadu.
Yeah, you know, people caught that in the chat room. I didn't because I don't have a clear recollection of Xanadu, so I was thankful for them. I wanted to send them checks and everything in the mail because I had no idea because I haven't seen Xanadu since, like, cable in the, like, mid-'80s, so, you know.
Yeah. I apologize, too, by the way, before I reveal this the last week's title for the Song of the Week. I apologize to the person we were supposed to have on as a guest tonight. Apparently, someone dropped the ball, and I'm the only someone, so I guess it was me.
Yeah, you're too hard on yourself.
I apologize, but we'll rectify that. So last week's Song of the Week was Suspended in Time, from Xanadu by Olivia Newton-John.
Dude, she was
my
the
first,
hottest girl in the world in elementary school.
My first crush, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, we're showing
absolutely.
Our age here big time.
And now she looks like Lauren Bacall. But even so.
You said it, not me.
Yeah. Okay, this week's Song of the Week we're going to play for our closing. So, Jerry, I'll talk to you in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. Thank you.
Have a great time. We'll see you guys next show, whenever that may be. Here's your Song of the Week. Thinking about the one you love. Thanks.
maybe it's a bad, bad thing.
I feel like crying. I feel like crying.